I was in Dunlap earlier this afternoon, and God got hooked up on a line. It's like I'm running about three signals right now. I got the marriage retreat signal. I got this message that God put on me right now and in this Psalm 27. So I've got all these, God just speaking, you know, and I was into worship. Like, he gave me the definition of worship. He just, like, dropped it on me. And he gave me a four-point message about worship. And I don't do four-point messages. Y'all know that already, right? So it was very organized, straightforward, and, man, I was so excited. And the first one is you got to listen, right? He said you got to listen for God. You can't worship God unless you hear from God and you get to understanding how he speaks to you, right? So I was really excited, and I was trying to tell Melissa about that message today but for church, and she does what she always does with that, and she gives me that look right there. So we're going on marriage retreat, so we're going to work on that the next 3 days, me saying stuff from the pulpit. So, but then all of a sudden, I got on the way over here, I started talking about another message, and I said, man, there's this idea that I wrote down, and I remember where it's for the marriage retreat. So, and most of y'all, a lot of y'all are not going to go on the marriage retreat. Some of y'all are going to go on the marriage retreat. But I'm going to give you this 1 point off the marriage retreat. It's pretty cool. I come up with these four or five things about what you do to keep your marriage or get a hold of your marriage, right? The art of this, the art of that, the art of this, right? The art of forgiving. Whew, that's good. Some of y'all are going to the marriage retreat. Put your fingers in your ears and go like, blah, blah, blah. No, don't do that. You'll look silly. It's Wednesday night. We don't do Wednesday night like we do Sunday night. It's more personal, hopefully. But can I give you this Wednesday night point about forgiveness? Forgiveness. If you ever want to get married, if you're ever thinking about getting married, ever. If you've been married, some of y'all already ever think about getting married. If you've been married, if you just got married. Terry? No? Some of y'all need to go on a marriage retreat. All right, senior marriage retreat. Everybody will be in the bed by 4. All right. But I'm going to get out of that before I get hurt. All right, but anyway, I was watching, but the art of forgiveness, do you know that you can get hurt in marriage to the point where you're almost flinching? Because you've been hurt, you close up, clench up, right? And even God says the only way that you can receive love and give love is if you open up. I was watching this crazy thing. I was cruising through, and all of a sudden, I roll up on this slap competition. Have y'all seen this? I'm about to tell you that. Thanks for, it's awesome. Well, I get to this one. Well, it's two girls, right? And I'm like, I'm in, right? Well, the first one is just a big girl and a not so big girl, and they're standing at this table, and I'm like, what's going to happen, right? And all of a sudden, the big girl, I'm like, what in the world? And she goes, whap, and almost knocks the girl out. I mean, the girl's like, have y'all seen this? It's, all right, I'm getting a nod. Y'all, some of y'all over here are like, no, it's not happening. But it's a real thing. Well, then the next, the little girl doesn't get knocked out, and there's a little bit of swelling right here in the lip area. She comes back to the table, and she goes, and I'm like, all right, retribution, right? God, I can't believe I'm telling y'all this. I can't believe I'm sharing this on a Wednesday night right here with you and I. This is going to take over. This is going to dominate the message. No matter what I preach from now on, this is all you're going to get. But all of a sudden, she goes, pop, and the girl didn't even move. I mean, that girl didn't even move. She went, and I went, oh, no. So then the girl gets another turn. And as she's doing this, every time she does that, that girl goes, you know what I mean? And she hits her again, whap! And I mean, She almost goes to the floor, and she comes back up there, and her now this time her whole side of her face is swelled out, lips all puffed out. And I'm like, oh, man, Diane's like, oh, they signed up for it. I don't know what this is. All of a sudden, the girl gets her time again. She's pop. I mean, just that. And I'm like, run, run, quit throwing a towel. She does it third and last time. Yes, and every time she brought her arm up, that woman went, you know? And she hits her that last time, and it's over. But what I was talking about is she had been hit so hard. She got to flinching and drawing back and drawing in, and she wasn't the same person when she started, right? Guys, in marriage, when you get hurt, you've got to learn to forgive and have to learn how to open back up and to give and receive love, not smacks in the face. All right, golly bum. Some of y'all are going to be like, that's how our marriage is. We slap it. Sorry. Are y'all ready? Let's get back in. It's Proverbs 27, around verse 18. Let's make sure that's where we're at. Yeah, verse 18. I was going to get off this message. We have to continue to fight this fight right here. Because I don't care how spiritual we get, and I love the Spirit. I love to operate in the Spirit. I love to be led by the Spirit. I love God using me in a big way. I love when the Spirit of God moves. But we do have character defects. Everybody in this room has character defects. You have issues that you have to work on where God can be spiritual with you. Because if you do not change some of your character defects, God can't work past that. And this one tonight, these tonight are how to work your working relationship. Are y'all good? That's exciting stuff. I know everybody's like, all right, you're going to preach on work. It's Wednesday night. We've been working all week. All right, verse 18. So what's this right here? Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. The first one is blue collar. The next one is white collar. The one is poor. The other one is middle class or well. That one is working in the fig tree. A fig tree is a farmer. He's a person who's working in the ground. Some of you in here are laborers. You work for a living. You put your hands on things. Praise God. What it's talking about right there. Work. Do your best work. Because guess what? That fig tree that this farmer works on for his or whoever's got him working in that field, he's going to eat from that tree. Amen. He is going to eat from that tree. You will eat from the work that you provide. Do your best. As a Christian, this is not taught. It's not preached enough. As a believer in Jesus Christ, when you come on the work scene, you should not be lazy. You should be consistent. You should show up to work. You should give your employer your best effort. Amen? People in your workplace should say they work as if they are working for somebody higher, which is Jesus. Amen? And that's what he was doing. And I have learned this and I have figured this out even when I was in a more manual and a more physical laboring job other than where I'm at today. I always said to myself, if I learn to work and learn the system of the job, then I will be, that job will feed me. That job will take care of me. I will learn something out of every job I do. You will learn something out of every job you do. I can still remember some of the first jobs I got. I learn stuff out of every job. So you got to remember that. The next one is, it's a hard one. This one is a hard one to learn. Learning how to work for somebody that you don't like. Working for a boss or for somebody who takes advantage of you, takes you for granted, or you are there and they are not appreciative of who or what you do. You know what you got to do? You got to work as if you are serving God. You have to work past that. Then you got to pray while you're working. God, help me move on out of this. I remember when right before I went into full-time ministry, God put me in a job that I absolutely begged for. Melissa's already smiling. I mean, I begged for this job. It was all weekday work, no weekends, and I just started preaching. So I said, oh, God. This is the perfect job. please give it to me. And I laid on my face and I prayed and I begged and I begged God, and God did. He came through in a big way. He gave me that first shift job, no weekends. I mean, it was an amazing opportunity, as though I thought. I've told y'all about that job so many times, probably it's not even funny anymore. But I got this job and find out it's the most dysfunctional place in all of Shaw Industries. I spent more time in HR than I did on my job that 3 years I was there, because it was so crazy, right? It was insane, right? But every single day, I still haven't had a job where I've been more tried as a believer in my life. I've never had a job into this day that almost every one of my coworkers either came to Christ or became stronger Christians through it. I've never been in a job where God sent more strangers to me to pray and to talk to them about the Lord than when I worked there. But there was never a job where I thought about killing my boss more than I did while I was there. Amen? And when I say kill, I mean I'm being honest. The first week, the guy that was training me gave me 7 days of training, and every day I said, man, how do you like this job? And he goes, I'm glad you're going to take my place. And I went, no, I mean, what do you, I mean, it's day shift, man. I mean, we're getting paid good money. It's a supply room stuff. I mean, tell me, like, did you get a better job to get out of here? He goes, no, I took an off-shift job just to get out of here, man. I'm training you and I'm leaving. I'm like, man, this don't sound good, right? Well, his 7 days went and came, and it seemed pretty sweet. That seventh day, all of a sudden, I'm down there pulling orders, and all of a sudden, my boss calls me up to the office, and I go up there to the office, and he pulls me in there, and he looks at me straight across the desk and goes, hey, Kevin, I've heard you want to quit, and you want to leave here, and you hate working here. This is my first 7 days at the job. I ain't said nothing to nobody. I'm sitting there, and he's looking at me, and I'm like, is this a joke? What are you talking about? I just came here to work. I love what I'm doing. I mean, I'm just learning. He goes, do you want to cry? And I'm literally sitting there going, man, in my mind, I'm working all these things out in my head. Like, what is, am I being like, is this his candid camera or something? And I look out into the office, and this lady's out there. Her name was Martha Shaw. And I said, I'm looking at her, and I'm like, help me or something. I look at her, and she goes, what's wrong? You upset about this? What's wrong with you? You got a problem? I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm sitting here across this man, and I'm talking about, I have my wife doesn't work. My son has just been born. I took this job, and, I mean, I ain't got no other plan. He goes, I think you're probably going to leave us today, aren't you? And I'm like, man. And all of a sudden, Charlie, I'd like to say I was a Christian. I was a young Christian. I would like to say I had it all together. But I got up. I stood up in the room, and I said, friend, I love you. I'm trying to help you. He goes, I think you're about to cry. I said, do you know what's really going to happen? I said, I'm going to shut this door, and one of us are not coming out of this room, and it ain't going to be you. He goes, are you threatening me? I said, you're threatening me. And all of a sudden, we're standing there, and all of a sudden, he's just like, well, what are you going to do? I just walked out of the office, went down and started pulling orders. That's how the next 3 years went. That's how the next 3 years went. I came home that day, and I told Melissa, This is a spiritual moment of all spiritual moments. I came home, and this is our anniversary, by the way. We've been married 21 years. Ain't that amazing? I came home, and I was walked in, and I was like, hey, babe. I said, man, there's something wrong. She goes, what? I said, these people are crazy. I don't think that's where God wants me to be. And she's like, I thought you prayed about it. That was her answer. I thought you prayed about it. I did. I thought that's where God wanted you. He was. And I went in there, and I fell on my face before God, and I think I stayed there off and on the whole 3 years, just my face matted up against the floor, praying to God and Him going, yes, this is good. Amen? This is a real good place for you, Kevin. I'm about to put you in full-time ministry for the next 17 years of your life. This place right here is going to pull some junk out of you that you didn't even know you still had in you. There were things that I did not even know that were still in here because I was super spiritual. I thought to myself, man, there nothing can shake me. I was preaching strong, powerful messages, traveling everywhere. But when I was going to work, I was about ready to kill somebody. Man, in 3 years, I remember the day when they done one of the craziest things they ever done there, and I simply just laughed about it and said, it's par for the course. Amen? That woman, Martha Shaw, was crazy. She called me Cabin. She was from Kentucky. Cabin. See what came in a cabin? You're not doing this right, Cabin. You pulled this wrong order, Cabin. But I said, well, you didn't get my name right. But then one day, man, 3 years goes by, and one of the craziest days we had there, I just laughed it off. I went into the break room, and Martha Shaw walks in that break room and walks around me and Bobby. Bobby was a man, me and him grew in faith right there, and she walked around the room. She walked, paced around the room. One, two, like a vulture. I'm sitting there going, oh, no, what's the lady from Kentucky want now, you know? She goes, Cabin. I don't win. Yes, Martha. She goes, my mama. I said, your mama. She goes, my mama fell, broke her arm in Kentucky. I said, yeah? You pray for my mama. I said, Martha, I would be honored and privileged to pray for your mama. I'm going to pray for your mama every day until something breaks and she's better. Something happens and she's better. I remember about a week or two later, man, she was walking up the steps. She looked at her, Kevin, get to work. I was sweating. And all of a sudden, I wanted to rebut. I wanted to say something to her. I wanted to fire back off. And I said, instead, this Holy Spirit rose up in me. And I said, hey, Martha. She goes, what? I said, how's your mama doing? She goes, my mama's good. Thanks for praying. And walked in there. I promise you, man, one day, all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, I was going down every day volunteering in this ministry right down the street that I would eventually come full-time in. That's how I ended up here. I walked off in there every single day, working every single day. Then all of a sudden, one day, God said, it's time for you to leave Plant 3. I walked out of Plant 3 that day. I walked into that plant, and I remember, like it was, I mean, God, so beautiful. I walked in, they said, I had this big old smile on my face, and my boss and Martha was standing there, hey, why are you smiling? Because that ain't the place to smile. I said, in 2 weeks, I'll be leaving. And they both went in the office, and then they both came back out. What? In 2 weeks, I'm leaving. I'm going into full-time ministry. We don't want to lose you. Well, you could have told me that before. But I said, too bad. That's where I'm going to go. I've learned a lot since I've been here. And all of a sudden, man, one of the sweetest days, 2 weeks goes by, and all of a sudden my replacement come in. And I know what that other guy felt like now. That guy come in, he goes, will you show me everything? I said, I'll show you everything for about 5 days. And then after that, I'm leaving. Well, one day, guess what? I'm over there. I'm over there working with that guy and showing him some stuff. And I'd eased off to the side. I can't believe I'm giving you all this tonight. We probably won't get all the verses I want to now. But I got over there off to the side, and she couldn't see me and didn't know I was in earshot, her and the other boss. And all of a sudden, I heard, he goes, you're going to have to get better at this. You're not doing a very good job getting on to him, you know. She goes, Kevin always knew what to do even since he was here. And I was like, what? 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 I mean, 3 years, why didn't you say that one time? I thought, man. But listen, the whole time, it took me a year and a half to really settle in and say, God, help me be a better believer in front of these people that don't like me and don't want me here and don't need me. But I have to be an ambassador for you, even in this place. There are going to be places in your life, especially workplaces, that you are going to be an ambassador for Christ. They're going to listen to your words. They're going to look for your actions. And if they can't see Christ, they're not going to be able to say that God is real. Amen? Because a lot of times as Christianity, we do everything when we're doing good. But when we get a rough patch in our life, we disappear on God. And we let God disappear in our lives. Amen? One more story about that. We had 3 or 4 people in that workplace who were miserable. But you know what we started doing every single day? We would gather up together and hold hands and pray in that place. I mean, it was crazy. We were all miserable. We was all putting applications, trying to get out of that. Couldn't. Nobody's taking those jobs. We just kept praying and praying. And God broke through that place. Amen? Ain't that amazing? That's crazy good. Well, let's go a little bit further. Verse 19. As in water, let me slow down. We ain't going so fast. As in water, faith answers faith, so the heart of a man. So a heart of man to man. Let's get this real quick. When you look into water, and we're going to use a little bit different illustration here. When you look into a mirror, because you're looking into a reflection, what you're trying to do is when you look into that reflection, you're trying to see what you look like. Who are you really? Amen? You're trying to look for the good and the bad. Everybody in here, every man, woman, or child, every single day, whether you're lost or whether you're saved, when you go in, you look in a reflection in a mirror or that water, you're looking to find out who you really are. Amen? This verse helped me this week studying and preparing for this message. This helped me so much. When you go into that mirror, that mirror can't lie to you. All it can do is show you who you really are. Amen? But what this next part of this verse is, the heart of a man shows the man who he really is. All right? So guess what? As a believer in Jesus Christ, as somebody, and if you're sitting here this evening, you don't know if you're really saved or not, what happens is you have to start reasoning in your heart. You have to go to this mirror right here. See, this mirror right here, it shows you who you are in Christ Jesus. This shows you who you are as a real man or woman. This shows you your intentions of your heart. And the heart shows whether you love God or you don't love God. And it doesn't lie to you. Amen? And when you really put the scriptures in and you read and you pray and you're looking at yourself in that scripture and you're looking at your heart, it exposes who you are. And the more you do that and the more you study these scriptures, you know what happens? When you're operating in an everyday environment, like when you're at work or when you're out in community or whatever, if you start having fleshly thoughts and desires and things are off, then guess what? Scripture can come back to your mind and your heart, and it can expose why you're thinking that way. Listen, aren't you glad that God has done a work in you, that you don't have to have a preacher, you don't have to have a sermon, you don't have to have a song? All you have to have is you and God to open up and expose while you're doing things. I was on the way over here. I like to be real obscure when I preach. What I mean by is, sometimes as preachers, we say, man, I got some real issues. Someone said, what are they? never mind. I was riding over here, and I was telling Melissa, it's like, man, this one verse helped me out. Is that exposing your heart, really what's going on. And what does she do? Being my awesome wife, she goes, well, what was going on? Well, mind your own business. Amen? I mean, that part of the message is top secret. But it's not. And you say, man, I don't like you being so stupid. Man, it was, right before bedtime, 10, 11 o'clock. All of a sudden, I started having some stinking thinking in my flesh. I started having thoughts and ideas of things, and it starts coming. And all of a sudden, that scripture come back. This scripture. I know, nobody on this Wednesday night, this is not for you. I know you're super spiritual. You never have fleshly thoughts. You never get angry. You never get bitter. You never have lustful thoughts. Never have any of that stuff going on. I know it's not you, but praise God. There I was, and all of a sudden, God brought this scripture right here. It says, hey, will you look at yourself compared to me? Will you look into your heart? And automatically, you know what I did? I started praying. God, cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind. God, I thank you for exposing my heart. Amen? Do you know in the scriptures, do you know what the Bible says about the devil? He says the devil just wants a place in your mind. He just wants one little foothold in your mind. All he wants you to do is give him one room for him to climb all the way into your life. Amen? And I don't know what you struggle with. I don't know what goes on in your life, but I'm going to tell you right now, this is amazing because guess what? We can look good on the outside. And some of you do, man. I mean, you could dress up and put on, and man, you could look amazing on the outside. And we always show our strength at church. But man, ain't it good when God can expose our hearts to who we really are and what we're really doing? Because let me tell you something about God. God will not use you if you've got a corrupt heart. Amen? Can I preach right there for a moment? You know what I found out about God? If you'll let him do surgery early, if you'll let him do the stuff early, you won't have an overcomplicated surgery down the road. If you'll say, hey, God, will you just run a light in there now and expose it now while it's small and work on it now? That way he won't have to pull you out in front of everybody and crack you open and pull it out in front of everybody. Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher, because that's what sin does. If you keep on hiding it and keep on pushing it down and keep on lying to yourself, what happens is that thing gets corrosive, it gets ugly, and it gets out. Wednesday night, y'all got more than you bargained for tonight. Because what we do is we start out in a place where we look around and ain't nobody there. But if you keep on with sin long enough, it gets out and it walks down the street and it screams your name. Amen? It gets on that Busted magazine. Oh, it gets on the 9 o'clock news. Oh, never mind. Let's just pass up on that. But let me tell you something. God will get you early. He'll say, I see something. You want to deal with it now or you want to deal with it later? You know what? If you start doing it like that, and that maturity and that faith right there, if you start letting God work on you early, you know what he'll do? He'll help you work with other people. He will use you in ministry because he can use you in the private places. He can use you in the open places. Some people want to do great things for God, but you can't do great things for God if you can't do great things for God when you're all by yourself. Amen? A lot of people say, I run into a lot of people, oh, I want to do what you're, I want to go with you. Hey, praise God. You know what it takes? You've got to be transparent with God. Amen? You've got to be wide. You've got to get, when you're on the dark side of the desert like David, like when we read the Psalms and we read all these things in the Bible, most of those things were not done in front of a big audience. He wrote those when he was on the back side of the desert all alone in Christ. Whew, sorry, that just, there's so much there. Verse 20, hell and destruction are never full. There's never been a body that clogged up the drain between here and hell. Amen? There are more people on their way to hell than there are heaven. And it seems like the church doesn't care. Amen? We need to have a burden. We need to have a burden and say, golly bum, if we don't tell anybody anything else, we're going to tell them about Jesus. If we're not, and I know, guys, listen, when I sit here and I tell you that, I've got a flesh too. I've got feelings too. And it's hard sometimes to break through that ice and tell somebody about the gospel. But praise God, let me tell you something. If you ever find out that person's passed on and you didn't ever share the gospel with them, and everybody's talking, so I don't know if they got saved, I never know. Praise God, you're going to be sitting there, you're going to be wearing yourself out going, man, I had how many opportunities to share the gospel with that person? And I don't know. Amen? And then we ask questions like, why did God take them? And why'd they die here? Why'd they die there? Well, why didn't you take the opportunity to tell them about Jesus prior to that situation? Amen? I know what flat top church is like now. I do. Some of y'all are sitting here going, right now, you're always preaching about that gospel. Yes! Yes! It's the only commission God has given us. It's the only thing Jesus ever asked you to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. That's all he ever asked you to do. We got people asking, what does God want me to do? That's it. Now, whatever vehicle he uses to get you in front of them, do that. Make them a hamburger. Make them a hot dog. Feed them. Put them in a house. Put some clothes on them. Give them some money. But then you better give them Jesus too. Amen? You better give them Jesus too. Somebody told me, one, don't give them money. You're just wrong. Praise God, I don't ever give nobody money for free. Amen? God's good. I'm going to give you, this is an expired date. Y'all have already heard this one before. And if you hadn't, this is, I remember one time, I'm riding down the road in a Providence vehicle. This is years. I don't do this anymore. I used to do it. I used to hide money from my wife. Golly, it's like some kind of getting better moment here. The way I grew up, man, I had dysfunctional parents when it came to money. My dad was super cheap, and my mom was terrible with money. So if I ever had money, I hid money, right? Money was scarce, right? So as I got older, praise God, I would always keep money hid away. Then I got married. I didn't even know how to deal with money. She paid all of our bills, and it blew my mind. When we got married, I'm like, where's all of our money? She goes, it's paying our bills. And I'm like, well, that's cool. Never done that before. She hit the lottery when she got me. I'll tell you. I mean, she did. I was dysfunctional. I put the fun in dysfunctional. Well, all this, man, I mean, where was I going with this? The money. Where was I going with that? Oh, driving in a Providence vehicle, and I've got $200 or $100 right hold down in the back of my wallet. For me. For me. Not for us. If she asked me, how much money you got? $5. How much money I got? $105. It's for me. I'm riding out there, and all of a sudden, I pass this guy on the road. Homeless guy, I mean, just looks rough. He's going down to the truck stop probably to make money to get drugs. That's what I said. God said, give him that money you got. That $5? Okay, Lord. He said, no, all of it. All of it. You mean the 105? You know what I did for about a mile? I said, God, do you know what he'll do with that money? You know what God said to me? You know what you've done with the blessings in your life, Kevin? You know how many blessings I've gave you over and over and over in your life, and you've squandered them and wasted them and done all that stuff? Do I still love you? Yeah. You need to give him that money. You need to tell him that I love him, that I care about him, that I want to help him. Yeah, I know, but Lord, can't we get some change first? I mean, that might be overkill. And I'm being honest with you. That's how I talk to the Lord. That might be overkill. And God's going, I have overkilled you. I've overblessed you. And you've wasted it. Man, I pulled over and I walked up there. He was all freaked out. I'm like, hey, man. He goes, yeah. I said, God wanted me to tell you that he loves you and he wants to save you and he died for your sins and he wanted me to give you some money. He's like, all right. And I mean, man, I'm like, boy, I'm digging back there. I've got that 100 fold up 15 different ways. I'm like, man, where are you going? I'm going down to the truck stop, get a hamburger. I'm like, that's going to get you better than a hamburger. And all of a sudden, God said, hug him. Tell him you love him. I don't love him anymore. I'm mad at him. You know, love you, man. God bless you. Ride all the way back to the house going, man, I'm at $105. But that's how that's what God wants. God wants us to be willing to give everything we have to get somebody to come to Christ. Hell is filling up. Hell is filling up with people that don't know anything about Jesus. And we're sitting idly on the road. We're sitting idly by as the world passes away. We are the only one with the cure of the main problem in this world. And we sit around and complain about everything else but sharing the gospel. I wrote this right before I left the house. If you start sharing the gospel today, church will get so much better for you. If you'll start sharing your faith and sharing the gospel, church will become amazing to you. Because when you come in here, you'll be so hungry to get refueled because it will take everything out. You'll come under attack. You'll be wearied. You'll be burdened. And when you come in here, praise God, you'll have an empty plate. You'll be able to say, God, fill it up. And I don't care what you put on it. I'm starving. Instead of coming here going, bless me if you can, God. I'll just get this back part of this verse and we'll be done. So the eyes of a man are never satisfied. Hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of a man are never satisfied. Boy, listen, can y'all hold on for one more minute? Give me 3 minutes right here. Even believers, we can get pulled back into this. Do y'all know what I'm about to say? We can get pulled back into our eyes and the lust of our flesh and the things that we want of this life. We can get so consumed with them that we take our eyes off of sharing the gospel, loving people, and doing the things of God. We can get so caught up in the next phone, in the next car, in the next relationship, the social media, everything else. We want this. We want this acceptance. We want this. We got to have this kind of job. We got to have this kind of money. And next thing you know, another 5, 6, 7 years have passed by, and we have been consumed with the things of the world, and we do not care about the things of Christ. Most of us in this room can testify to this, and we know it's absolutely true. We have gotten to the place. Some of us are sitting here going, man, I would love to do more for Christ. But we are anchored and tied down
to the things of this world more than we are Christ. God can't send us. He can't use us because we have to go pay for the things that we have bought. I just lost everybody in here. I don't like you, preacher. Well, I want to tell you this. I tell God all the time, here I am, send me. He goes, well, I would send you, but you've got this payment and that payment, and you can't go. True. Amen? Of all the people in the world, we should have the least amount of things that hinder us from running our race for Christ. There are some relationships and things that we're going to have to lay aside and say, God, I want to be used by you more. And I know some of you sitting here right here tonight, sitting here going, you tell me I can't, you know what it starts with? God, I might not be able to do it right now, but I'm going to start a plan, I'm going to start an idea, and I'm going to start getting myself where I can be more used by you. Amen? And I will start 1 foot away instead of a 5,000 miles away. I'll start in a sphere of influence that I have right here. I'll do better right here in this place. And when you start cleaning up the mess that I have made, then I can be reached further and longer and harder for you. Amen? Are y'all better for coming tonight? I don't want to wear you out because I'm trying to get to a certain point. But we've got time to work on these things. And I think I put enough in your plate tonight for you to go, okay, that's some stuff I can work on. Amen? Let's all stand.